We are going to do open forum starting at 2 o'clock. We've got about 2 minutes, so I'd like to just be at ease until that 2 minute time so we have everybody, or do we have everyone that's here?
We can start.
We can start?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to go ahead and roll right into the open forum then. The portion of this meeting is designated for public comment on petitions, proposals, and other items of interest not on the agenda. Our staff attorney will keep track of time. So, John, I'll let you say anything else that needs to be said.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, John Kadelnik, staff attorney for Game Fish and Parks. As Madam Chair indicated, this is the open forum portion of the meeting. It is not a public hearing because there are no finalizations for this meeting. So, again, it's open forum. So individuals can talk about pretty much anything they want to related to Game Fish and Parks. I do ask that you state your name and where you're from on the record and keep your testimony to 3 minutes. I will give you a 30-second warning just to kind of give you a heads up to wrap it up. Okay. First one I have is Ron Kolbeck.
Welcome.
Madam Chair, Commissioners, thank you. Madam Chair, Commissioners, thank you for the opportunity to address you today. I'm here to talk about the petition that you'll hear a little bit dealing with crossbows in the paddlefish season. As a bow hunter, crossbows are a totally different tool for harvesting animals. In my opinion, it gives an unfair advantage of taking game where you have a cocked, loaded weapon that's ready to shoot. I find it also very interesting to see in the regulations as it exists today that crossbows are not allowed below Gavin's Point Dam until you get downstream from Highway 81 bridge. The only explanation I can come up with is safety concerns. And certainly crossbows and safety is vitally important as well. Crossbows, in my opinion, if we want to use those for taking abundant animals out of the population and managing populations, rough fish, for example, that makes some sense. But when we have limited resource like paddlefish, it's just not a fair proposition. Thank you for your time.
Very good. Thank you, Ron.
Next person I've signed up is Corey Hansen.
Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Corey Hansen, Brandon, South Dakota. Don't start my 3 minutes because I won't be the first to officially roast Emmett. It's interesting that Emmett's retiring and now everybody's getting a 14 to 15% raise across the state. So thank you, Emmett. So I'm really happy that they're doing the raise because that's one of the things I was going to mention is we've lost so many good people to Minnesota, Nebraska. I've had friends move across the state. A couple things. I'm a landowner by Brandon on I-90, and we continue to get deer hit by vehicles between Brandon and 229. Personally, three of my family members have hit deer. It's cost thousands and thousands of dollars. And my suggestion would be to high fence that on both sides of 90, like some other states around from Brandon to 29. I think the funding, I know it's not limited as far as the money you have, but I think it could be on licenses for deer. Until it's fully funded. I know in Minnehaha County, last year there were 678 tags. This year there's 600 available. I think a $20 or $10 increase for those tags until the fence is paid for would be appropriate to consider. The other thing I would ask is consideration to move north the high-powered rifle because south of I-90, it's limited. It's non-rifle in Minnehaha County until a certain area of Lincoln County. And there's so many residents and industrials that are north of I-90 now that I don't think it would affect the harvest of big game. However, I think God just spoke and said yes. However, I just think that there's just the Game Fish and Parks should be more proactive instead of reactive because at some point somebody's going to get killed by a high-powered rifle in that area. And also in those car collisions, it costs tens and tens of thousands of dollars for people. So I think we should be more proactive and stuff like that than reactive as the chair, just citizens and hunters and landowners like that. And I think that's all. I've driven that stretch on I-90 for 22 years, twice a day, back and forth to work. So This year alone, I had seven deer cross the fence on my property that we had to put down that were wounded beyond, you know, normal I-90 kills. Sometimes they're carpet bulls, but anyway, just for consider that. Thanks.
Thank you, Corey.
Trevor Davis, are you online? Trevor, are you out there? Okay, we'll come back to Trevor. Nancy Hilding. Nancy, are you out there? Right, another one, Jim Dahlberg. Philip Lentz.
This is Nancy Hilding. I finally found to unmute my phone. I mean,
floor is yours.
Okay, just a second. I'm going to start sharing my video. All right, so this is Nancy Hilding. I'm speaking for Prairie Hills Audubon Society. The topic today is going to be otter and maybe lake chub if I can get through otter. We want to number one point out that the agenda for this meeting was not available before the written comment deadline of Sunday night at midnight. Therefore, that's kind of unfair. The actual proposal was not for otters, was not available on Monday at 3:41 my time when I emailed John and pointed out the proposal was not up there. When I checked on Tuesday, the proposal was up there. This is a proposal with no change, I think, which means it's not going to go to finalization. So this is the opportunity to comment on this, but people have had no clue what is going on. The agenda was published on Monday, but you couldn't see the proposal. You didn't know what the proposal was before the written comment period was, you know. So I'm suggesting that you extend acting on this till July. So then you have, because you're skipping August, it's still timely to adopt any changes in September. Although if you adopt any changes in September, you have to get it to the IRC immediately in 5 days. There's an interim rules review committee crunch there. But we object to the due process here of not being able to. Now, I knew that the otter was going to be up because I've forgotten. One of you guys told me it was going to be up at the May meeting, but Tom Kirschman. But I didn't know what the proposal would be. So, okay, so we're objecting to the due process here. We're objecting to the fact that the last otter proposal that was up was in 2021. It was supposed to be for 1 year. You did not readopt it in 2022. Now you're finally getting ready to do it. I pointed out in May commit meeting in your fur bearer licenses, you would not include otter. So now you're putting otter forward with no change. Okay, we are objecting to the no change. Okay, we are also objecting, and Kirschman told me that, you know, I was going to learn about the monitoring at this meeting, and in the proposal, it just, once again, just shows you the harvest information. It does not show you the monitoring that you're supposed to be doing according to the otter management plan. And you are supposed to, according to the otter management plan, be looking at complete for 5 years. You're supposed to be double checking on the delisting criteria for otter, which is that confirmed reports of reproduction are documented in three of the five basins, 60% within the recovery area. And with each of these basins, the presence of river otters has been documented by verified reports in at least 40% of the sub-basins. You're supposed to monitor the distribution for at least 5 years following delisting. And you are supposed to be ensuring that the delisting distribution and reproduction criteria continue to be met. That's in your river management River Otter Management Plan. So I do not, is my 30 minutes up?
Yes, ma'am.
I do not see that being discussed. I see you having meetings where somebody comes and tells you about the harvest effects of the last season, that people are not talking about the monitoring. The last time I heard this was in fall of 2020. So this is a recently delisted species. If you watch what's happening with your harvest limit in 2020, is it over?
Yes, ma'am.
You reached your season limit in 6 days. The next time it was 10 days.
Thank you. Next individual I have listed is Philip Lenz. Trevor Davis.
Hi there, Trevor Davis. How's it going? Appreciate the opportunity to testify today. Appreciate the commission's time as well as the GFP staff for letting me talk about the crossbow paddle fishing. First and foremost, I think, given how a crossbow operates, that it's cocked and remains loaded. If you've ever been out below Gavin's Point Dam, for example, on paddlefish opener, it's kind of like battle fishing on the Kenai. There's people all up and down that shoreline. And whether you're on shore or in a boat, if you're using a crossbow that's already cocked and loaded, I see that as being a safety concern, first and foremost. But secondly, I fear that if we include it in the general paddlefish season without requiring a handicap permit or a disability permit, that we're leaving the door cracked open for it to get into our main archery season as well. And we all know how most of us archers feel about that. But at any rate, I think that it would be great if we could amend that to make it so that you have to have a disability permit to do that. No problem with that whatsoever. I don't want people with disabilities or injuries or anything like that to be taken out of the game for some condition they didn't ask for. Want them to still be able to participate, of course, but I think it's best for all things all the way around, both safety and as far as archery in general, if we exclude it from paddlefish season with a normal bow. You know, it's not dangerous until you're already pointing down at the water, right? As where with the crossbow, accidents happen, catch a wave, something like that. Somebody ends up with a bow fishing arrow, getting hit with that, and that would obviously be a tragedy. So I appreciate the opportunity to testify today, and I appreciate your time. Thank you much.
Thank you, sir. Jim Dahlberg. Jim, you might want to check your microphone. We can't hear you if you're talking. Okay, we'll try going on to someone else. Justin Broughton.
Thank you, John. Hopefully everyone can hear me. Madam Chair, Commissioners, Department staff, I just want to thank you for the time to testify today. Justin Brown again, President of South Dakota Bow Hunters. Just want to testify in favor of the petition that you'll be hearing here shortly that was submitted by Mr. Hoff relative to crossbow fishing for paddlefish. Trevor did a great job just a moment ago in talking about some of the safety issues that exist out there with crossbows. They're fully loaded. They're cocked and ready to rock at all times. And having that floating around in a boat in rough water, current, a million things can happen that could potentially create a safety issue, number one. Number two, the crossbow in its ready-to-fire state poses a distinct advantage for crossbow hunters over traditional archers. A regular archery hunter that's using a traditional or compound bow has to either hold their bow at full draw and wait for a paddlefish to present itself for a shot, or has to draw the bow and take aim at a paddlefish when it surfaces or when it becomes visible in the water to fire, as opposed to a crossbow hunter who has basically a rifle on their shoulder pointed at the water at any given time. The mere glimpse of a paddlefish presents them an opportunity to harvest it. So it presents a distinct advantage. And all of us as bow hunters, we bow hunt for a variety of reasons. And one of them, and the primary reason a lot of times, is challenge. The crossbow makes it easy. And I feel we've done a lot of things to make hunting much easier of late. And that's not why we archery hunt. We archery hunt for challenge and to enjoy the sport we pursue. And the crossbow flies in the face of that. And I would just request that the commission strongly considers adopting that petition and removing the crossbow from paddlefish season. The crossbow, I do support the crossbow use for any kind of rough fish. It takes the safety aspect out of it when folks are fishing in streams or creek, private property, that type of thing. And also, of course, we support any crossbow use for handicapped individuals or those with disabilities. Thank you for your time, and I appreciate you listening to my testimony today.
Thank you, sir. Robert Fahey. Philip Lentz. Oh, sorry, Fahey, right there. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name is Robert Fahey. I know some of you people. I am a retired state trooper. December 1st, 1996, I was working an accident south of Sioux Falls here on Interstate 29 by the 229 junction. I was run over by a drunk driver at 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning. The human body is not made to take that. I do shoot a crossbow. I've been shooting a crossbow for a number of years. They are the most lethal killing machine we have at our disposal. I would like to have you consider this petition to remove them from the paddlefish fishing season. As other folks have pointed out, it's a hazard. I can't envision someone having a loaded crossbow in a boat driving longshore that is covered with people. I do not fish for paddlefish. My wife does. And I would not want her looking at one of these from what I know about them. I would rather give a loaded pistol to my grandson to hold than let him touch my crossbow. That's how dangerous they are. I've done extensive testing with them. I'm working on shooting out to 200 yards with them using specialized arrows. And I do that just to show what they're capable of doing. A lot of these crossbows, I can't envision if they shot a paddlefish and that bolt passes through that fish and gets marred in the bottom, whether it's mud, muck, wood, or even rocks. How are they going to land that fish? The biggest problem I have with hunting with a crossbow is I've shot numerous deer all over pass-throughs because these things are so powerful. And that bolt gets stuck in trees and usually end up breaking the bolt off and leaving the broadhead in the tree because you can't get it out. You go in that deep. And I can't imagine having one of these precious fish on a string tethered to the bottom. And how are you going to land that thing? I just can't see how it can be done humanely. It doesn't make sense to me. There are a number of ways to take it. And because I have the permit to use the crossbow, I recognize the right of everybody that's in the same predicament to have that option to hunt or fish in that way. But these are not sporting devices at all. They're killing machines. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, sir. Dana Rogers.
Yes, hi. Thank you, everybody, commissioners. Secretary Robling, appreciate the opportunity and the time to speak to you. Here to testify in favor of SDBI's petition to get rid of crossbows for all use in the paddlefish season. We certainly support anybody who is handicapped, just like we do with the archery deer and antelope seasons, archery elk. There's been a lot of discussion already. We do not allow people to you know, walk around the shore with a loaded shotgun on fire, loaded rifle on fire in the boat and shoot fish that way. And I can't imagine how dangerous it would be for somebody to walk around like that on the riprap below a dam. So I really appreciate if you guys consider just removing that from the paddle fish season, except for handicapped individuals. A bow fishing setup with a compound or recurve, you know, that's 20, 30, 40 pounds. The minimum draw weight for a hunting bow is 30 pounds. As the predecessor just talked about, crossbows are very high poundage. They're very powerful. And so it really is a much more effective killing weapon when you can have it locked and loaded and on fire and on your shoulder just waiting, rather than having to pick out the fish, look at the fish, aim, draw your bow, and then release. So that's really all that I had. Thank you very much, Commission. Thanks, Secretary Robling, and all the people out there testifying. Please remove the crossbows from the general paddlefish season. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Philip Lenz. Jim Dahlberg. Mr. Dahlberg, if you can hear us, we cannot hear you. Your microphone is muted. Is there anyone else in the room or online that wishes to give testimony in the open forum that has not already done so? Hearing none, Madam Chair, that would conclude the open forum portion of the meeting.
All right, very good. Thanks to everybody who stepped up to share your comments and suggestions with all of us on the commission.